There are times when you just kind of realize that you like prepare for a sermon and you get it ready, and then God goes, "That was funny. Nice try. That wasn't my plan." And boy, this week has been one of them. We're coming out of the Unthinkable Sermon Series, and we just had some major things happen this last week. You know, our island and suffered the loss of Packy. For those of you that don't know him, he's not only been a friend of the island for years, part of the Wrigley family, but a friend, a very factor to so many, including this church. And his loss hit a lot of people. I was really gratified because I got to talk to him a couple days before, or a couple weeks before he passed. And he didn't come here to church. He was over town most of the time. And I didn't really know where his faith was. And to hear the words that came out of his mouth as we had a conversation on the street, I came to the realization as I did that he knew who his daddy was. That he knew that as he struggled with his illness, he knew that it wasn't his generosity or his good works or the things that he did that assured him a place in heaven. But it was that he was able to claim a faith in Jesus Christ. And then that the things that he did, although they looked the same as before, they began to be motivated from a different place. Because he always was one of those good, generous, loving guys. Somebody's trying to call me, by the way. I just want you to know I have it on silent, okay? Very happy. This first 10 minutes of the service is not light. This is not easy. Because after we suffered that loss last week, our church suffered a bigger loss, 9 people killed. And God really underscored that to me this week. The shooter and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm glad that happened in their church. I'm glad that it didn't happen to our church. Because if you understand the concept of church, it is Christ's church. And it doesn't matter where those members of our church are being killed. It hits closer to home when it makes it onto this continent and into South Carolina. It's closer and it's harder. Maybe that's what brings it in a little more real. I just started thinking about everybody on Father's Day today. This was the pastor. Pastor Clementa Pinckney. Pastor Pinckney, by all accounts, was a man of God. A man who not only believed in Jesus Christ, but lived it out day after day. He leaves 2 daughters, which we're going to pray today. And you can be praying for the two of them. Milena and Elena. So Milena and Elena. He is one of 9 that were killed at that location. And each one of them that lost their lives had one thing in common. They knew who their daddy was. They knew they were with daddy. This lady, the Reverend Dr. Sharonda Singleton, better known as Mom, loved Chris, her husband, Chris Jr., recently graduated Caleb, his, her daughter Cameron. And it was the son there that got to me. There. There that got to me. Because I don't know if you've seen him on TV or not yet. But he basically says, this is hard. But my mother and my father taught me to love. And we are going to love and forgive. We are going to have grace and love and forgiveness for a young man named Dylan that took my mother's life. I just got done doing a series called Unthinkable Generosity about how God sent his only son, that while we were yet sinners, we could be saved. And that I spent 7 weeks talking about how God wants us to live out that unthinkable generosity. And he wants us to live lives of generosity. And this young man sums it all up in one statement. And he's not the only one of the family members that are doing this. Dealing with death is never easy. Dealing with death in this kind of a horrific situation, the situations that are happening there in the Middle East. The church being persecuted. The church, by the way, being people. All right? Let's not see it as a building. Let's not be foolish enough to do that. Let's see it for what it is. We are the church. Now, God says you can do something about that. You can do something about that. I talked about how people develop this whatever attitude. God's going to do whatever God's going to do, and that's what God's going to do because God's going to do it. Bull. Why did he tell us to pray then? God told us to pray for a reason, because it changes things. Do you believe it? If you believe God changes things as we pray, then you're going to pray this morning. I'm going to put a little video on in a minute, a little song. And the gentleman that's singing it is a singer that many of you know, Stephen Curtis Chapman, who has dealt with his own grief in the last few years. His little daughter ran out into the driveway of their home as his son pulled up from a play practice and came driving out of the driveway, came running out of the home to greet him, and he didn't see her, and she was dead. Can you imagine what that family went through? How you come out on the other side of that with a faith in God that's even stronger? I haven't had to do that. I don't know how to go there. Some of you have. And the fact you're sitting here this morning tells me you've gone there. See, because it's only when we know that those who have passed on are with Daddy. It's only when we know that there is true comfort. And the thing I can say about these 9 that passed from our church family is they knew their daddy. As Stephen sings, let God bring prayers up in your heart.
Tears are falling in Charleston. They're asking why, and no one has the answers. Our hearts are breaking for Charleston. So many lives in a moment shattered. The thief came to steal and to kill and destroy. But the story isn't over. You will not be overcome. You will not be overcome by evil. But you will overcome evil with good. They were gathered in Charleston. They believed in a kingdom coming. And while they're grieving for Charleston, we won't forget the love that they were showing. When the thief came to steal and to kill and destroy, 'cause that love will not be silenced.
Lord, we thank you for you overcoming evil with good. Your Son, Jesus Christ, has overcome. We pray for these families. Hear us now, Lord, as we come together in prayer. I ask you all to look up and look at the screen and join me in this prayer. Lord, we pray for the victims affected by the Charleston shooting. Please wrap your arms around these families and give them strength as they mourn this terrible tragedy. Amen. Very simple prayer. But God is going to do something because you prayed. Do you believe that? Somebody asked me this morning, or somebody said, oh, good sermon. I said, yeah. My question is, how many churches is God preaching this sermon in this morning across this land? Because there is a message to go out there, a message of love and joy, and they're with Daddy. Starting out a sermon this way is not what every preacher wants to do. I need three jokes and, a couple things like that, and that's the way you start it out in our society. But God wants to do this. And I said, all right, God, can I get back to what I was going to talk about? And he goes, who? I was like, and I wanted to bring you out of that mood. I want to keep you prayerful, but I want to bring you out of that mood a little bit. And so just to kind of get our focus on what it means to be with Daddy, I give you Ken.
Next day, we went to SeaWorld. Terrors of the Deep exhibit. Sharks, big plexiglass sharks. My oldest son is as far away from that wall as you can get. His head is buried in my leg. Daddy, the sharks are going to get me. Daddy, he's going to get me. And I'm like, they're not going to get you, but you're okay. You're okay. They're not going to get you. Cody, my rough and tumble Cody. There's a small ledge next to the plexiglass. He is on the ledge. I want to pet the sharks, Daddy! I saw this baby shark in the back tank going, that boy scares me, Mommy. That boy scares me. And I knew it was not going to be easy because my oldest son is scared to death. And I know that the last is this moving sidewalk that goes through the bottom of the shark tank. And it goes out the other side. And I knew that it's not going to be good. I pick him up. I said, God, look at me. Look in my eyes. Look in my eyes. Now look till you can see your face in my eyes. He goes, okay. I said, are you okay? He goes, yeah. I said, you're okay with Daddy? You're okay when you're with Daddy, okay? Okay. We get on the belt and we start going. I said, you okay? I'm okay. And then he looks up. Just then this bull shark goes right over. And his head just snaps back. I'm with Daddy. I said, yes, sir, you're okay. You're okay. I'm with Daddy. And he started venturing out. He started looking and pointing. I'm with Daddy. My daddy. We got out the other side. I said, are you okay? He goes, yeah. I said, why are you okay? I'm with Daddy. I'm like, that's right. I said, you want to go pet the dolphins now? He goes, yeah. So he and I went to pet the dolphins. Heather and Cody went to pet the sharks.
Yeah, shark, I'm with Daddy. Overcome evil with good. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, I'm going to have you open your Bibles. There's some in the pews there. I have this strange idea that I tell people every week, and seeing as how there's visitors here, I'll tell you. My strange idea is that when you open the Word of God, and a pastor tells you to go to Galatians, which I'm doing, and he tells you to go to Galatians 3, God may want you to read Galatians 2. Or radically thinking he might even take it back to Genesis. I don't know. Well, maybe I got the right book at least. See, because the Holy Spirit speaks to each one of us through his word, through his written word. And although I believe the message that I'm giving you right now is the one that God wants you all to have, he may have another message with you. So I'm giving you permission to ignore me. Okay? You may have permission. Snoring's not allowed. But ignoring me is allowed other than that. So I'm going to read you from Galatians. And this section in Galatians I'm going to interpret it the way I'm seeing it, as I think God has unfolded it. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Let me translate that for you. Because of Jesus Christ, you're with Daddy. Bad deal? And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. May I add, black nor white, Hispanic or Oriental. I don't care. Haitian or Australian, Brazilian or Canadian. None of those divisions count because we all have Christ. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We all have the same daddy. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the two children of Abraham. Okay. Does anybody remember reading the old scripture where Jesus gave the law to Abraham? Did that make you think for a second? You see, do we believe in a God, a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? When it says the Father gave to the Son, it's rather strange for our minds to take on that we both share a friendship and a intimate relationship with this man called Jesus, yet at the same time, he and the Father are one. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. So just remember that his promises were given to Abraham, and if Jesus says something to you, this is not a different God talking to you, okay? This is God talking to you, God the Father. So, you are now the two children of Abraham. Aren't you happy to know that? I hope you are. You are his heirs, and God's promises to Abraham belong to you. Anybody remember God's promises to Abraham? He promised us we would be blessed. Wow. And then he went on further, and he said, because I have blessed you, I will make you a blessing to whom? All nations. Wow. And that promise was not for this group of Hebrews. It was not for these people in a nation that would be called Israel. That promise was for every one of his sons and daughters, all that he chose to be sons and daughters. At this point, he was choosing the descendants of Abraham to be his sons and daughters. And he says, I'm going to make him like the stars in the sky. You aren't going to be able to count them. Paul picks it up this way. He says, think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. They have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age the father set. And that's the way it was with us when? Before Christ came. So we don't experience that. Paul talking to the church right then and there, they knew before Christ came. They knew what that looked like. We have to imagine it. But oh, no, we don't. See, because until Christ came to live in you, you were living in before Christ came. So, before Christ came to you, you were like children who were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. Basic spiritual principles of this world. What goes around comes around. Do good, people do good to you. Mess with me, you'll get yours. Those are the basic principles of this world. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. In other words, God and a woman who was fully human. Fully God, fully human, Jesus Christ. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us in his very own children. Ten Commandments. Everybody know the Ten Commandments? Okay? See if you get the right answer. Who wrote the Ten Commandments? Okay. Let me try this again. You're right. Now let me ask you a question. Did Jesus write the Ten Commandments?
I really want to think this. You're right.
Because if you don't realize that the Ten Commandments came from that person that we call Jesus, you can't grip the whole thing. You got to get wrapped around that fact. See, when he went up on that mountain and it got chiseled into stone, and he came back down, it was because God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, did something. But then God went so far beyond that. So far beyond that. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Daddy. Daddy. Now, you who are no longer a slave, but God's own child, really? I am? I am? And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. I get everything he's got. I get all his blessings. You get all his blessings. Can you live in that every day? For crying out loud, it's so easy to be generous when you realize you've got all the blessings of God overflowing to you. When you are caught as a slave to sin, you can't be generous. You don't know how to be generous. You don't have the ability to be generous. You can't do it. But when you grip that the Father sent his Son so that through believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he would give you the riches of the world. And I'm not talking about what you put in your pocket. I'm talking to you about what those children have: unfathomable, unthinkable, amazing grace. When you understand that you have that grace, everything changes. Then you are with Daddy. And see, as mothers and fathers, when we wrap our brains around that, just like the Father in heaven, he wants to share all that good. You know, Mother's Day and Father's Day kind of celebrate, I hope, the fact that we want to bless our children. Everybody that is a father and wants to curse their children, please raise your hand. No hands up. Because that's never the desire of a father or mother. Oh, maybe the action. There's broken places. People still caught in sin. Dylan is, we pray for him. Can you imagine that? Okay, I don't want to get down here. But can you imagine that this boy showed up and sat in a Bible study for an hour and stood up and shoot people? What kind of satanic depravity had gotten to him? Don't be mistaken. He is one heart change away from the throne of God. Now, he's got justice to pay here on earth. But he's no worse than any one of you were before Christ Jesus changed you. He currently has the same destination as you had until Jesus changed it. In Psalms, it says this. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children. Now, what are we speaking of here? We're speaking of the Ten Commandments and the principles that come from it, right? And he established these things. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think the Ten Commandments are a good idea? Oh, is that one of those that, you know, God could have left out? I don't think so. They're pretty much a key thing. He commanded our ancestors to teach them their children so the next generation would know them, and even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Now, who is he that decreed the statutes? Come on, get it right this time. Jesus! Okay? Because you got to get that to get the next verse. This is what Jesus then said. A new command I give you. This is God. The same guy up on the mountain chiseling the ten. Said, here's number 11. Okay? Amazing thing about number 11 is, remember, you're no longer a slave to the law. You're no longer under the law. Party Central time. Okay? But no, no, no. That's not it. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, Jesus, I love you, okay, sis. Did Jesus follow the Ten Commandments? You want your head to go this way, okay? Yes, he did. As I have loved you, you see, John recognized that. He says in 2 John, to love God is to follow his commands, okay? As I have followed the commandments in loving you, if I can edit. I don't want to edit the word of God, no. Lightning bolt. Okay, sorry. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How are they going to know if you're a follower of God? Come on, ABC. Love others. Now, do we only get to love those that love us? No. Do we only get to love those who do good to us? No, because those are the simple principles of the world. Okay? Simple principles of the world. The basic principles that you were caught under before. Okay? Bless those who bless you. Curse those who curse you. And take them out if you can. Okay? We're not under that law. We're under the law that says you are to love. You're with Daddy. And this isn't secret. This is to be passed down. Fathers, mothers, grandparents. I like grandparents. I let my children live. It's just as simple as that. This Father's Day special here for you.
Hey, Dad. What was Grandpa like whenever you were my age?
I don't know. He's like a dad. Grandpa make you listen to this terrible music?
You mean, did he culture me? You bet he did.
Did Grandpa get lost too?
Sometimes. We're not lost.
Recalculating route to your destination. You will arrive in approximately 2 days, 3 hours of...
What's your license insurance?
Did Grandpa have a lead foot too?
Amen.
Grandpa, did you pray before every meal like that?
Yeah, for every meal.
Did Grandpa do that too?
Yeah.
You really are a lot like him, aren't you? I hope I'm like you whenever I grow up.
What's with all the lollygagging? I'm not paying you guys to sit around and look at pictures. Chop, chop! My stuff's not gonna get to a condo on the golf course by itself.
Has Grandpa always been so bossy?
Always.
Is he actually paying us?
Not a chance.
You really are a lot like him, aren't you?
I listened to Sharonda Singleton's kids and the kids of others that went to be with Daddy from Charleston this weekend. I listened to them and I thought to myself, I'll bet you they're a lot like Mom. I'll bet you they're a lot like Dad. I just pray that we can be those people. That when we look at our children, that we somehow reflect Daddy that well. It says in Psalm 91, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." I pray my grandkids, I pray my kids, I pray you, regardless of who your father was or wasn't in your life, who your mother was or wasn't in your life, I pray you will dwell in the shadow of the Almighty God who gave you unthinkable generosity. Who loved you with a grace and a love. These nine, although we join to weep for them and to mourn an earthly passing, we sit in joy today, understanding that they're with Daddy. And if you have any doubt where you are going to be when you find yourself in their situation, today is the day to change that. Today is the day to give your life to Jesus Christ as you have never given it before. The ocean's not that cold. Anybody that wants baptism, great place to do it. I'm going to let John close up in some worship. But join me together now as I close this out talking to Daddy. Father, I come for all your children. I pray that you look down and you see your children sitting here. I pray that if a heart is turned away from you, Lord, that today will be the day that the simple decision, yes, I choose to follow Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior,